Second Peter chapter number 2. If you didn't mind the Lord here tonight, that's not my fault. I hope and pray that you have, but if you've not, I can't do one thing about that. It's my desire for people to be obedient to the Spirit of God. We've seen many obey the Lord, come to the altars, many testify tonight, many sing. I feel like I obeyed the Lord when I said sing a little more. And I just want to obey the Lord. I want to do what God wants, and sometimes it gets a little hard to discern what the Lord wants. And many times that's not because of our disobedience, but it's because of others' disobedience. Because if others would have done what the Lord wanted them to, we'd probably not be at this point right here. I always desire what God wants. That's what I want. And I trust that this is the message that the Lord wants for this hour. 2 Peter chapter number 2, starting in verse number 4, the Bible says this, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities." I want to focus tonight, if the Lord will be our helper, on verses 7 and 8. The Bible says this, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." If God will be my helper, I need to preach tonight on this thought, ineffective Christianity. Ineffective Christianity. I ask you to pray with us tonight. Father, Lord, as we come before you this evening, God, as humbly, Lord, as we know how, God, I come this way tonight, God. Lord, I ask you, Father, right now, God, that you'd help us here for a few moments of time. Lord, empty us out of every selfish carnal thought and desire. Help us, God, to set our affection on things above. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that your will be done. Lord, I pray tonight, God, Lord, that we've not missed you in any way. Lord, I pray you'd put your blessings, God, upon the reading of your word. I pray, God, tonight, oh God, Lord, that you'd bless the remainder of this service, God. I pray, Father God, you'd anoint these lips of clay and help us, God, to say only that which you'd have us to and nothing else. Father, I pray, oh God in heaven, Lord, tonight, God, that your will be done in this place. Lord, that you'd search each and every heart, God, and begin with mine. I pray tonight, oh God, in the name above all other names, Lord, that you'd save the lost, restore the backslidden, encourage the weak and weary saint. God, empty us out of the Lord's self tonight and fill us up with you. Lord, I pray, God, make the preaching easy. Lord, hide us behind the cross. Lord, let somebody see Jesus tonight. Lord, let somebody see their self tonight. Lord, I pray you'd start with me.
Lord, I can't help anybody else until you help me. Lord, I love you and thank you and praise you. God, you've been so good to us tonight. Father, we ask you, Lord, all these things this evening in Jesus' holy, holy and precious name. Ineffective Christianity, this is where the Lord's had our heart. This is where our thoughts are tonight. We've been studying upon this. And this man named Rock, I don't understand everything about the Word of God. I don't claim to be a great theologian. I'm just a little old hillbilly mountain preacher. These things about Lot that I don't understand, or nor do I claim to, but I believe everything that this Bible says. And the Bible teaches tonight that Lot was a just man. The Bible teaches tonight that Lot was a righteous man. And we find Lot beginning in the Word of God in Genesis chapter number 11. And Lot is the nephew of Abram. Lot is the great-grandson of Tema there, and we find them going down to a place called Haran. And the Bible teaches us in Genesis chapter number 12 that Abram, he left with his nephew Lot, and they begin to go looking unto Canaan's land and going that way. And the Bible teaches us, hey man, that Abraham built an altar and Lot was right there with him. I believe that Lot, his righteousness, Abraham was responsible for it. Abraham was the father of faith. Abraham was a leader. He was a patriarch. And Abraham was the father of Israel, the father of Isaac, the grandfather of Jacob who became Israel. And he is the one, my friend and I, that had Lot there by his side. I believe when he'd go to them altars that he built, I believe old Lot was right there with him. And the Bible teaches us, hey man, over there you can get into Genesis chapter number 13 and you find where a strife became between the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham. God was blessing them both, and their cattle and their flocks increased, and they had so much. And the Bible teaches us that as they growed, that they began to strive one with another and say, well, there ain't enough grass for all of our cattle. Your cattle's getting more than mine is. And Abraham was a wise man. And Abraham said, there's plenty of land for the both of us. What we need to do is we need to split up and go our own ways, because we both got so much. We've both been blessed. The Bible teaches that Abraham gave Lot the option, and Lot began to look, and he looked down there at the well-watered lands, and the Bible teaches that he fixed his eyes down that way, and he said, I'll take this right here, and he picked that which was best. It was the greed of Lot that chose that. Should have looked and said, Uncle, why don't you take the better land? Oh, but he was greedy in his heart, and the Bible teaches that he took that which was the best. And Abraham went his way. And then old Lot, he kept going on down towards Sodom. The Bible teaches that he pitched his tents towards Sodom. And I want you to know and understand here tonight that he just kept getting closer and closer to that city. He kept getting farther and farther away from God. If you'll study the scriptures, everywhere that Abraham went, Abraham built him an altar. Everywhere that he went, he built an altar. But you never read of Lot building him an altar. I believe he was with them altars with Abraham. But when he went out on his own, his spiritual life began to dwindle. You find there in chapter number 14, Lot has been taken captive. The king of Shinar and a few other kings, they came down against the kings of Sodom, and they took that place over, and they come in and they captured Lot, and they took him captive. And the Bible teaches that the word got back to Abraham, his uncle, that he had been captured. And Abraham put together a posse, and he went in there, and the Bible teaches that he rescued his nephew Lot, and he brought him out of there. Boy, ain't you thankful for the family of God? Ain't you thankful that these times, all the Bible teaches us, hey man, it teaches us in the book of Galatians chapter number 6, that if we have a brother or sister, Oh, listen tonight. It's been taken captive. Oh, that's fell into some kind of sin. Amen. That we are to be a help unto them. And here Abraham was going after his nephew that had been taken hostage and taken captive. And the Bible teaches that he got him out of there. And he freed him and rescued him. Oh, but if you'll study the Bible, Lot's not mentioned again until Genesis chapter 19. And you know where he's at? He didn't learn his lesson. He was right back down there in Sodom in Genesis chapter number 18. You find out here in Genesis 18, amen, that the angels of the Lord and the Lord came and appeared unto Abraham. And then the Lord had made Abraham a promise. And he told Abraham, he said, what we're going to do, he said, is we're going to give you and Sarah a child just like we said we would. And old Sarah was over there in the tent door. And the Bible teaches that she laughed and the Lord heard her. I believe she might have laughed within herself, but God knew that she laughed and the Lord heard her and he called it out. She said, oh, I didn't laugh. He said, oh, but you did. And God made his promise and God's sure and God keeps his promises and God is true. But as they begin to leave and the angels of the Lord begin to leave, they were going down to Sodom on a mission from God. And the Bible teaches that the Lord said, should I share with Lot my intentions? Should I share with him what I plan to do to Sodom or with Abraham? And the Bible teaches that he began to speak to Abraham. And oh, that loving uncle, once again, he began to pray and plead with God because God said, I'm going to destroy that whole city. And Abraham immediately thought in his mind, oh, my nephew's down there. My nephew's in that city. He's going to die in the fire. He's going to be destroyed. Oh, but listen tonight, my friends, I want you to know and understand. Oh, Uncle Abraham was a begging and pleading with God. He started out at 50. He said, Lord, if there's 50 righteous down there in Sodom, will you spare the city? And the Lord said, I'll spare it for 50. He went down to 45 and then to 40 and 30 and 20 and all the way down to 10. And God said, I'll spare it. Oh, but listen, there could not be 10 found in righteousness. Everybody talks and we preach and we talk about how that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed for their wickedness. Oh, but I believe tonight that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed for their lack of righteousness. I believe with all my heart, according to the scripture, that if there had only been 10 righteous people in that city, that God would have spared that city. But he could not find 10 down there. The Bible teaches that them two angels, amen, when you see them with the Lord, in Genesis chapter 18, the Bible calls them men. But in Genesis chapter 19 and verse number 1, the Bible calls them angels. And these two angels came down to Sodom. And Lot was laying there at the gate. And the Bible teaches that they struck up a conversation and went into the city. And Lot knew how evil and wicked that them people in that city were. And he begged them men, them angels, to come into his house. And that city was so wicked that night they came beating on the door of Lot's house and they came saying, please let them men, send them men out unto us that we seen come into your house earlier. The Bible teaches that the whole wicked city come out against them and the Bible says that their intentions were to know them men or to have sex with them. Oh, but listen, Lot went out into the street and he began to plead and talk with these wicked men. He began to beg them, don't do this. Don't do so. And he even got to a place where I'm telling you, a lot, the Bible calls him a righteous man. But I'm going somewhere. And the Bible teaches us that he got to a place where he offered his virgin daughters to these wicked men. He said, I'll send them out unto you and you can do what you want to with them. Just do not harm these men. And the Bible teaches, amen, that they would not leave. And they began to lay hold on Lot. And they said, well, we'll just have our way with you, more or less, is what they said. Oh, they said, this man came down here to sojourn. He's going to try to judge us. us. He's going to try to tell us what to do. And the Bible teaches that them angels reached out and grabbed old Lot and pulled him in and shut the door fast. And they revealed their plan unto Lot. And they said, you better get anybody and everybody that you love out of this city, because in the morning there's going to be fire rain down out of the sky. And God's going to destroy this city. And God's going to destroy everything and everybody that's here. He said, if you love anybody. Oh, Lot began to plead with his son-in-laws. He began to beg them. He began to say, please, oh, will you leave with us? And they mocked him. He didn't have any impact on them. I'm preaching tonight on ineffective Christianity. I'll tell you tonight what our problem is. I'll tell you what's wrong with the church today. We've got so much like the world. We try to fit so much into the world. We want to be accepted by the world. We want to be loved by the world. That we've lost the power of God. Oh, we're having a listen. The world's having a negative effect on us instead of us having a positive effect on them. Here Lot was in the most wicked place that there was at that time. The Bible says that he was a righteous man. I'm telling you, he was in a good place to work for the Lord. There was work to do all around him, everywhere that he looked. But he was not having a good effect on this place. The Bible teaches, I want you to think about this and listen for just a minute. He was so ineffective. Evidently, he hadn't said much about the Lord to his son-in-laws. He was going to let his daughters marry those wicked men. Evidently, he hadn't said much about the Lord to them because they didn't believe him. Whenever he said, he didn't have any persuasion whatsoever. The Bible teaches that they actually mocked him. Oh, I'm telling you today, it's sad when we lose our power with God. It's sad when we lose our testimony. It's sad when we lose our witness. It's sad when the church is giving in to everything. Oh, and people in the church look more like the world, sound more like the world, walk more like the world than they do the child of God. What happened is Lot became more affected by Sodom than Sodom did by Lot. You say he's just one man. Yeah, but the Bible says he was a righteous man. So I'm telling you here today, he ought to have had some effect in that place. And they said, you get everybody you can, and we're going to lead you out of here in the morning. And soon as we get out of here, oh, fire and brimstone's going to rain down out of the sky and destroy this place. The Bible teaches us, hey, man, that next morning that he took his wife and he took his two girls, and them angels grabbed them by the hand and led them out of the city. And the Bible teaches us, hey, man, that they said one thing. They said, when you go out, do not look back. Do not look back. You've not got anything to look back to in that place. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm worried today that there's too many people looking back. There's too many people desiring the flesh pots in Egypt. There's too many people today, my friend, that's took hold of the plow and they're looking back. Oh, listen. Oh, when God saved me, I'm telling you, there ain't nothing in this world to go back to. The best life I've ever lived, the best life I've ever known, is living for Jesus. I don't want to look back. I don't want to look behind me. I don't want to go back. Do you realize this evening, the Bible says in the book of 1 John that they went out from us because they were not of us. If they had been of us, they'd have no doubt continued with us. And the Bible teaches that Lot was so ineffective. He was such an ineffective Christian. He had so little power in his wife that he had no persuasion over his own wife. I'm telling you, there they went. And you know what she done? They hadn't got far out of the city. And she looked back. And the Bible teaches that she was turned into a pillar of salt. How sad and how heartbroken that is. I think about the old song, will the family circle be unbroken? Oh, I'm telling you tonight, it's going to be sad that these men that have not been a good enough effective Christian, a good enough leader in their home, hey, man, that they didn't even lead their wives and their children the way they were supposed to. Listen tonight, friend, I'm telling you, I'm begging you with everything that's in me, we need to make up our minds. minds to live for God. We need to sell out to God. We need to give everything we've got to God. Time's running out. Oh, the Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter number 17, as it were in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. I'm telling you, there's going to come a day when the trump of God's going to sound, and we're going to be out of here, and time to work will be over. It'll be sadness in that day. Oh, my friend, for those that are unprepared, I'm telling you here this evening, I want to be ready. I want my family to be ready. I want my friends to be ready. I want them to be on the winning side. I want them to be serving God. I want them to be living for God. But Lot was so ineffective that he didn't even have persuasion on his own family. They got out of the city. The Bible teaches that he wanted to go to another little city. He begged to go to another little city. He begged them angels. And the Bible teaches that God was so merciful that God allowed him to go to this little city. I want you to think about this. They went to that little city and they wouldn't stay. He got scared. And the Bible teaches that they went up into a mountain, into a cave. And the Bible teaches that there, that his own daughters committed an incest act and got their own father drunk two nights in a row and had sex with their own father. I'm talking about ineffective Christianity. I'm talking about somebody that had no leadership whatsoever. You know, it's a sad thing today, in the day and time that we're living in. We don't have much persuasion on the world. We are being more affected by the world than we are having an effect on the world. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to see where people's hearts are at. It's heartbreaking to see where those that profess Christ, where their hearts are at. They say that they love the Lord. With their mouths they profess to know God, but in works they deny. It's heartbreaking. It's so sad. I think about this. I'm just being honest tonight. I know salvation is a free gift to God. I understand that with everything that's in me. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. And I want to say this. When the Lord saved me, boy, he put something in my heart that I want to do something for God. I want to live for God. Amen. I want to serve God. Oh, I want to be effective. I want to make a difference in this world. I want to be a witness to people. I want to be a good father. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a faithful church member. Well, you're the preacher. It don't matter. I'm still part of that church there at Sweet Gum. Hey, man, I want to be a help to the church. I want to be a help to the church family. I want to do something for God. But there's so many folk, and they save or saved. And save are born again, but you just don't see no fire and no desire in them. And it bothers me. It troubles me. It worries me. I don't want to be an ineffective Christian. I want to be effective. I want to have a positive influence on those around me. I want to be spiritual. I want to walk for the Lord and talk for the Lord. I want to lead others to Christ. I want to help others when they're down. I want to pray for others. I want to be an encouragement. I want to be a blessing. I want to give. I want to do what the Lord had had me to do. Right. While we're not saved by works, faith without works is dead, James said. And boy, I'm telling you what, I believe that old Lot's faith would have been considered dead. He had faith. Bible said he did. Bible said he is a righteous man, said he was just. That's what it said. And I believe his faith was dead. I believe with all my heart that it was dead faith. He wasn't living the way he is supposed to live. God have mercy, I'm telling you tonight, if just one person in this place would make up their mind and say, preacher, I'm tired of living the way I'm living. Preacher, I'm tired. I want to come to God. I've been running from God so long. I'm not where I need to be. I've not been being an effective Christian. I think about old Jonah. When I think about this message, Jonah was called by God. You can read about him in the book of Kings. Jonah had prophesied, and it came to pass before their very eyes. He was God's man. He didn't just come on the scene in the book of Jonah, but in the book of Jonah, God came to him with a word, and he said, go down to Nineveh and preach unto them and tell them to repent. And Jonah said, I don't want to go to them people. Oh, I'm telling you, we don't get to choose what we want to do when it comes to serving the Lord. Oh, I've had to do a lot of uncomfortable things in my life. I've had to do a lot of uncomfortable things in my ministry because God pressed upon me and I knew it was the Spirit of the Lord telling me to do it. But I'm telling you here tonight, Jonah made the wrong choice and Jonah ran from God. And the Bible teaches tonight that Jonah suffered the consequences of running from God. The Bible teaches that he went down there and he got on board a ship and he paid the price. Hey, man, to get away from God, it's going to cost you when you run from God. And the Bible teaches that the storm came upon that ship. Friend, I'm telling you, some of the roughest storms you'll ever be in this life is when you're out of the will of God and you're running from God. I'm telling you, I don't believe the most miserable people, hey, man, are lost people. I believe the most miserable people are truly saved people. Hey, man, that's out of the will of God and running from God. Oh, Jonah, he was running from what God wanted him to do. It could be tonight that there's people in here and God's got a calling on your life and he wants you to do something, but you're running from him. Oh, the Bible teaches that God had a great fish prepared for him, and the Bible teaches that as soon as they cast old Jonah overboard, that fish came up. Oh, and it swallowed Jonah and took him down to the bottom. I'm telling you, I had to get to the bottom. I had to go to rock bottom. I had to get as low as a man could get. The Bible teaches he was in the belly of that whale. That's what Jesus called it, was a whale. And the Bible teaches that he had that seaweed wrapped around his neck. Oh, listen, he is in that belly, oh, for 3 days and three nights, I believe. The Scripture teaches, oh, friends, it was miserable in there. He wasn't happy in there. I'd say it stunk in there. I'd say the stomach acids of that fish was eating on him. I'd say he had blisters on him. I'd say he was smothering. I'd say he was a bubbling and a drowning in there. Hard to breathe. I'm telling you, it was trouble. Oh, but praise God, it was in that dark, a low place where he was at, that praise God, just like the prodigal son, he came to himself, hallelujah, and it was out of the belly of hell, he called it, of it, he prayed unto God, and he turned his life around. He said, God, I'll go. He became willing. It was the psalmist David, of it, he committed of the horrible sin with Bathsheba, and he committed adultery with her, and then he committed an act of murder and had her husband killed, and he got far away from God. Oh, but listen, praise God. God sent the prophet and God pointed the finger and said, thou art the man. And David repented, praise God. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, he prayed, oh, cleanse me, Lord. Oh, purge me, Lord. Hallelujah, glory to the Lamb of God. I'm glad tonight that God is the God of second chances. I'm glad tonight that God is the God of third chances and fourth chances. I'm glad tonight, according to Jeremiah, that his mercies are new every morning. I'm glad tonight to know that God is able, amen, to set you free. Amen. I don't know how long you've been running. I don't know how far you've went. I don't know what shape you're in. I don't know tonight where you're at, but God does. That old prodigal son, he was the father's son. I'm telling you, he lived at the father's house.
he had the best they was. I mean, he had the best life. You know what he did? He got greedy. He said, I want everything that's coming to me. I want to go ahead and get my inheritance. I want to live my life how I want to. You know what he said? I'm tired of these rules. I'm tired of this confinement. There's a world out there. I want to try it. Boy, that world wasn't very good to him. Bible teach, I don't know how long it was, but it didn't take long. He'd done spent everything he had with righteous living. Bible teaches that he was far away from home. He was in a far country. He was away from the Father's house. He was away from the goodness that he'd experienced. He was away from the love of the Father. The Father never quit loving him, but he got to a place where he wasn't feeling the Father's love. You see, when he was where he's supposed to be at the Father's house, I'm certain he'd get them hugs from the Father. He could sit at the Father's table and eat. And you know what? It was a joy to work for the Father, to do what the Father wanted him to do. But when he got way down there, you know what? He got so low, the Bible teaches that he was feeding swine. That's what it says. I mean, he'd lowered himself so low. He was doing the unthinkable. And not only was he feeding him swine, but the Bible teaches that his money was gone, his friends were gone, everything was gone. And the Bible teaches that one day he's down there in the hog lot, and he's dumping them old husks out right there in that mud. I don't know if you've ever slopped hogs, but I have. We used to keep them and raise them. And a hog's one of the nastiest. I like bacon, but I'm telling you, a hog's one of the nastiest critters you'll ever be around in your life. I mean, they're right there in that mud. This is nasty, but they use the bathroom in that mud. They waller in that mud, and they'll root and eat out of that mud. If you put their slop in a tub, they'll turn it over and root it in the mud. That's what they do. They're a hog. And there he is down there in that hog lot. And he's took that old slop, him old husk, and dumped it out. And he's sitting there. He's not eating days. He's starved to death. And boy, the Bible says right there that he desired, he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. But Luke 15 and 17, oh, praise God, hallelujah, to the Lamb of God. Luke 15 and 17. Oh, hallelujah. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants in my Father's house have bread enough yet to spare? Oh, he went to thinking about how it used to be when he was at the Father's house. He went to thinking about how good it used to be when he was in the will of the Father, under the love of the Father, in the favor of the Father. Can I explain a little something to you here tonight about love and favor of God? God will never quit loving you or me. But we ain't always in his favor. Jonah wasn't in his favor on that ship. Lot wasn't in his favor down there. God was going to destroy Lot, the rest of that crowd. You can believe what you want to. That was his intention. The prayers of Abraham.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Right.
Jonah repenting. A prodigal son repenting. I'm telling you here tonight. He said, how many hired servants in my Father's house have bread enough yet to spare? He went to remembering how good it was. And you know what he done right there in the middle of that slop? He went to coming up with a plan. I'll tell you what I'll do. I think I'm just going to go home. Boy, I'd say he could almost smell that cooking. Oh, I don't know how long it'd been since he'd slept there in a good warm bed.
He went to remembering how good that it was and how good it used to be. He said, I believe I'll just go home. But you know, he is overcome with guilt and shame. And he went to coming up with a plan. He said, I'm just going to go home and I'm going to say, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I'm just going to work for you. I'm just going to be a hired servant. You know, that work wasn't looking that bad now, was it? You get out there for a while, I'll tell you what, living for God and working for God don't look that bad. You get to wallowing around in a hog lot. You get tossed around on the storms of life on that old ship without God. You wind up in the belly of hell down at the bottom. Boy, I'll tell you, doing what God wants you to do don't look that bad no more. I'll just go home. I'll just tell him I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I blowed everything of God. I've ruined your name. I've ruined my name. I've ruined my testimony. I've made a mess out of this thing. I'll just go home. And I'll just work for Dad. The Bible teaches that when he started home, Evidently, the father had been looking for him to come.
Yeah.
I don't know how many days he'd been gone, but evidently, I don't think it's just chance or coincidence. I believe every day he'd walk out there, maybe to the edge of the property where the road left. And I believe he'd stand there and he'd look. And maybe that day he'd go back home. And well, he's not come home, but he never quit believing, because he was out there, that father was, and he is looking down that old dusty road. And in the distance he seen a little speck appear. He seen a little dust boiling. And he thought, could it be? Could it be? Oh, and the Bible teaches that the father ran out to meet him. Oh, praise God. And he fell upon his neck and he kissed him and he loved him and he held him. Oh, listen, he went through with his plan. He began to tell him what he said. Oh, I'll just work for you. I can't be called your son. Oh, listen, he wouldn't have it. He said, go get the ring. Go get the robe. Kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party. My son is home. He who was dead, he's alive. He's home. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you tonight. Oh, I'm telling you tonight. You may be a long way from where God wants you to be. You may be out of the will of God. Or you may not tonight. Oh, listen. Oh, listen. He wants you to come home this evening. He wants you to come home tonight. Oh, he's begging this evening. I know you feel his touch. I know you hear his voice. I know tonight that you know it's him. Stop wandering. Stop roaming. Stop doing it your way. I done it for my way for 13 years. I look back and I was helplessly and hopelessly trapped. I didn't like living like that. I didn't like what was going on in my life. I had become a slave to addiction. I was a slave to sin. I was in bondage. I was raised better. I knew better. But it had a hold of me. And I couldn't break those chains. I couldn't do nothing to fix my situation. I couldn't do nothing to make it better. But he could. Oh, and when I got down there and I came to myself, oh, praise God. I'm telling you tonight, he is able. He has the power. He can and will set you free. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, he's got the robe awaiting. He's got the ring awaiting. Oh, he's got the fatted calf awaiting on you tonight. He's ready to prepare supper and to let you dine. He's ready to let you sit down at the table. I'm telling you what, when you get things right with God, when you give your heart and life back to God, when you truly get born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, you'll never sleep as good as you do that night. You'll never feel as good as you do right then. Oh, when your sins are washed away, oh, when you repent of your sins and they get washed white in the blood of the Lamb, that which once was black, that which once was dark, that which once was wicked and separated from God. He said, oh, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be made as wool. I'm telling you tonight, the plea's going out. God's a-begging. God's a-begging. Oh, God's a-begging. I believe tonight with all my heart that the Lord is extending his hand of mercy one more time to somebody here this evening. You just come get a song.